You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
So we are going to hear a few more stories next week. And my Jackie wanted to share, I know one of the things she wanted to say was just the big emphasis on welcoming the Holy Spirit and how in almost every scenario there is that sense of just wanting him to take a lead. And for people like me who have a British mindset, when things don't go to plan and it's not stuck to time, you know, you have to get over that. But I really trust Pastor Caesar as a man of the Spirit, and stuff happens there which you just see the flow of God in their lives and in their meetings. So I wanted to share, it comes out of Bogota, but there's no screen, it was just 10 minutes. And it's from Matthew 25, verse 21, middle of a parable, and Jesus replied to the servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Did you know being faithful makes Jesus happy? Faithfulness is often not one of the highest qualities we aspire to, but from a biblical perspective, it's up there. And I have to say, Jackie and I, we feel so privileged every year to attend Bogota. So we've been going for 15 years. But actually, more than that, to be entrusted with a vision which has potential to change towns, cities, and nations. It's a vision for multitudes. It's not just about numbers. I mean, Jesus preached and Jesus healed hundreds, maybe thousands, in his lifetime. And at the end of Jesus' ministry, there was only 100 or so left. You see, the vision, it's about disciples. Malk touched on that. Most who were healed or who heard Jesus preach didn't respond, because his call was to come to deny themselves, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But for those who did respond, and it takes faith to respond, Peter said, you know, when everybody else was leaving, that was too hard a call for them to make. Peter said, "Well, where can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." And it's like Peter saw something which many others didn't, and his commitment was total and wholehearted. "I'm going to follow you. You alone have the words of eternal life." And there's many Christians today which maybe they're saved, maybe they've given their lives to Jesus in some way, but they've not come into that full experience of joy and life and faith, because they've always held back a little bit, wanting to do things their own way. But actually Jesus says, you know, if you want to receive life, you need to let go of your life. He says, "Come, deny yourself, follow me." And he gives us the abundant life, which comes through what Jesus has won for us. So it takes faith to be a disciple. And discipleship is about obedience, one of those words we don't like very much. It's about following, another word we don't like very much. It's about living his way. And our culture struggles with this concept. I don't think it's just us, actually. I think in many nations of the world, we struggle with that concept. You see, our culture in the West is about our rights. You know, we're in a suing culture now. You know, I think it's worse than it was. You know, it's like it's gone down. And we've taken that into the church, so it's our rights. But actually, when we came to Jesus, we let go of our rights. And we said, "Lord, you have every right to change me." Hannah's going to be speaking next week, and it'll be about change. And she, you know, one of the things that she will be saying is, when she went, unless you were prepared to change, don't even bother going to Bogota. Because we're opening up our hearts for him to come and have his will in our lives. And sometimes his will is different to our will. But do you know which ones are the higher? is his one. And we need to come under that and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm letting go of my rights. Discipleship starts here, and it's worked out in the home. The conference was called, I'm not sure if it's You Are the Light or I Am the Light. Milk? Not sure either. We are the light even. We are the light. And we were reminded by Pastor Caesar, if we're going to transform nations, if the light of God is going to touch our cities and our towns, it needs to start in the home. It's the light shining in the home. If it's shining there, we can take it out to the communities around us and make a difference for him. And who knows, the home is sometimes the biggest struggle, the biggest place of, well, it's the place of reality. I remember John speaking in Ethiopia with me and sharing that he had his two sons in his cell at that time. And the Ethiopian pastors looked aghast because they said to him, but they will see you in your home. They will see how you act. And you've got them in your cell. And John said, well, yes, of course. And it was just a challenge to them. It was like, wow, because this is integrity. How I am in my home should be the same as how I am in the church and in my cell. And so often we have to admit there's a difference there. So we need to see that light in our homes. But I want to briefly share on faith and faithfulness. And the cry I'm sure we all want to hear at the end of our days is, well done, good and faithful servant. There's hardly a better affirmation than that, is there? Yeah, you've done well. David said, or it was said of David, he served the purposes of God in his generation. Yeah, that's what I would like to be said about myself. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness is highly regarded by Jesus. And he says, if we are faithful in the small things, he will entrust us with bigger things. Faithfulness is more to do with character than it is to do with gift. But faithfulness actually needs to be mixed with faith too. We need to have the eyes of faith to see our small, what seemingly small responsibility is significant in the purposes of God. It's our entrustment, if you like. It's our test. If we're faithful in the small things, maybe it's a setting up team. Maybe it's duty manager, that doesn't seem such a small thing to me. Maybe it's playing your guitar and at some time you'll be leading worship. Maybe it's leading a cell. Maybe it's being mum and dad at home, whatever it is. If we're faithful in the small things, God says he will entrust us with bigger things. So we mustn't despise the small. Don't think if you are just a mother or father that is insignificant. What you give to your children is so, so important. You're raising up the next generation for God. Do you realize there's that call on your life to raise up the next generation for God? We've had more dedications in the last few months than we've done for a while, but I am so pleased because each time I'm able to remind the parents and to remind us, this is our responsibility. We are raising up. They're not the future church, they're part of the church now, but they're going to be the future leaders in the church. We're raising up a new generation for God. And who knows, future leaders may be in your home. Who knows what Jaden, where he will be in 5, 10 years' time. Yeah, 5 years' time, that little guy could be praying for the sick. There could be a release of the Holy Spirit through that little guy and others. You don't have to wait till you're 25. You know, you might be just young. Dan and Catherine, they've got a great vision for the children in the church. And they share, as Jackie had previously. And we want to see the little ones come up and be who they should be in church now. Not when they're older and later years. Future pastors, businessmen, politicians may be in your home. We're not called to be an ordinary parent. You have an extraordinary responsibility to raise up a generation for God. Cell leader, don't despise your role. Don't think of it as low. Don't think just because you've got 2 or 3 people coming each week, it's hardly significant. God is entrusting you to care for those 2 or 3 people really, really well. If you haven't got a cell, desire to have a cell. Ask God to put that in your heart so that you also could begin to care for others who come to know the Lord and even those who have not yet made that commitment. Like parents, cell leaders are raising up future generations. Form great disciples who will disciple others. That's the challenge we have as cell leaders. Invest your life in them. Love them. Believe for them. Believe maybe beyond what they're able to believe at this moment in time for them. This is where faithfulness gets mixed with faith. Begin to see them as leaders of 12 or leaders of 144 even. Youth leaders, leaders of women, leaders of men, in the church and outside of the church. That's where faith comes in. Seeing that this small entrustment which I have can grow and be such a significant role in the purposes of God. While we were away, one of the sessions, Pastor Julian, he's probably about 40 now, I'm not sure, he invited onto the stage his first cell leader, who was a lady maybe in her 60s or so. And this cell was 30-odd years ago. And he invited her there, and she was still there. She's still leading a cell in her 60s and 70s. And he began to ask her questions, and there were pictures of Julian as a little 8-9-year-old or whatever he was, and his brother there. And what do you remember about the cell leader? Oh, she said, "You know, I remember you stealing the cookies, and I remember you doing this, I remember you doing that." And they began to talk about how the cell began to grow. They used to meet in her living room, and then they outgrew the living room, and they had to convert the garage. And before very long, I don't know how long, maybe 20, even 30 people were in this cell. You know, it began to really grow 30-odd years ago. But Pastor Caesar sent one of his 12 to help this lady who has been so successful in her cell. They obviously had mixed cells at the time. And so Pastor Blanco came, and there was pictures of him with his black hair and everything else. Now he comes on the stage with his white hair. You know, it's a long time ago. And he's still there in the church. He's faithful, faithfully serving. And what he brought into the cell and some of the leadership and some of the preaching and some of the stuff and how he helped strengthen it. And then he invited his mum, Julian's mum, to come in, because it was her mum, more than the dad at the time, that took the family to the cell. It was their commitment every week. You know, they would come in pouring rain, they would, whenever it was, they would come into this little cell. And it was a place of family, it was a place of growth. And she would be sharing, you know, her experiences of cell at that time. And then at the end he said, "And I would like to ask people in the congregation or the audience to stand up if you have come through Pastor Blanco's influence or the cell leader's influence or my mother's influence." And of course, scores and scores and scores of people stood up across the auditorium. Leaders of 12, leaders with thousands of disciples which they are responsible for. You know, men and women who faithfully served God, whose families are in a good place. And it just made me think, that little cell, you just thought you were looking after a little cell. But coming out of that cell was so much influence. So, you know, great men and women of God who were formed and discipled to be great leaders and have great influence in the lives of others. And it all started with a little cell of 5 or 6 people in a living room. You see, faithful in small things, God can give you responsibility for even greater things. And there was no jealousy, the fact that Julian now was married to one of the Castellanos daughters, but no jealousy that he was traveling the world with ministry and this, that, and the other. Just thrilled that she was able to have seeds sown into his life in those early years, that he might become who God's brought him to be in the years to come. Did you get the picture? We've got lots of cells in this church. Cell leader, begin to ask God, dream for your team, dream for your people. Help them see who they can become in the purposes of God, regardless of what they're going through at this moment in time, regardless of their current commitment, regardless of their struggles. God's got a plan, and you can sow into their lives. There's a balcony up there that needs to be filled. It needs to be filled with people searching for the answers. people who have not yet found Jesus Christ. Actually, I'd like to encourage us to begin to invite people on Sundays and other times to come and hear about what Jesus has done in people's lives and what he can do for them. Let's believe for many salvations. That's God's plan and God's heart. But I'm also imagining that could be filled, downstairs would be filled, and everybody could be in a cell. Just imagine, 600, 700 people, every one of them who have decided to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they are now discipling others. Imagine everybody that I could see being cared for by somebody. Everybody being pastored. Everybody being discipled and discipling others. That's the Great Commission. Imagine the impact that could have in the schools in Reading. Young people here being discipled and discipling others. Imagine the impact it could have in your workplaces. Taking the light of God into the places of employment. Imagine the impact it could have on Reading and beyond. When we get to that place where everybody here is discipled, is being discipled and is discipling others. Lives will be changing. Marriages and families will be restored. Addictions and sinful habits will be broken. Everyone believing that they too can win souls and make disciples. See, the Great Commission was given to us all, not just to leaders. It's good to imagine. I was going to ask you to stand and look. You can if you like. I don't know what you can see, actually. But just imagine this place filled with disciples of Jesus Christ. Paul says God can do more than you can imagine or think. So maybe we need to be thinking two or three times on the weekend, this place filled with disciples of Jesus Christ. Not attenders, not people that just got healed and disappear again, you know, like so many did in Jesus' day, but people that are being invested in, being loved, being cared for, being trained to become great leaders for Jesus. If we filled this place, see, my vision this year, my heart this year, Jackie's in my heart, I want to see my team of 12 form their teams of 12. Jackie wants to see her team of 12 form teams of 12. That would be 288 potential cell leaders. Wow. I believe God wants to do an amazing work in Reading. I believe what Yinka's involved in, we need to keep our eyes open and ears alert. He's being invited to hundreds of towns and cities all over this nation to share what's began to happen with salvations and going out onto the streets of Reading. But if the response was much greater than what it is at this moment in time, there's not one church in Reading that could cope. Why don't we get ourselves ready? Why don't we get ourselves ready for a harvest? Do you believe Jesus wants harvest? I believe he wants harvest. We need to get ourselves ready. We need to get our priorities in order so that we too are being discipled and can care and disciple others. When we go to Bogota, we see the multitudes. Over 40 nations represented, from Russia, Korea, USA, France, Sweden, South Africa. It's a church of about 200,000 in Bogota alone. But you know, it didn't start there. It started in a room with eight people. And Pastor Caesar was faithful in caring for eight people, but all the time was believing for multitudes. It's faithfulness mixed with faith. And I believe that's what God wants to impart to us. Faithfulness in the small things, but faith to believe for the bigger things. Someone pushed through in Colombia. It wasn't always like it is now. Someone pushed through. Someone believed for more. Someone was faithful with eight and was entrusted with the multitudes. The question is, can we be that church in Reading, in the UK? With faith and faithfulness, I believe we can. Pastor Caesar's words, Kate's already reminded us of, are so true. This place is too small. It needs to be too small for what God wants to do. But he's looking for faithfulness, and he's looking for faith to rise in our hearts, to believe beyond what we're able to do in our natural strength, God can do through us. Amen. Let's stand together. And have we got a song to end with? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for Life Spring Church. Somebody said to me, did I miss the church? Of course I miss the church. These are my friends. We're together in a vision to see this town impacted with the gospel of Jesus. And Lord, I want to pray for each one of us, that as people hear some of the stories, as people see some of the pictures, as people read your word and hear from your word, Lord, that you will impact our lives, that we will be faithful to the call of God on our lives, but also that we will be men and women of faith who are beginning to see beyond the natural into the supernatural what you want to do in our lives, in our town, in our nation. Lord, we want to commit ourselves afresh to you. We want to be faithful to you. We want to be faithful to each other. Lord, will you put that in our hearts, and will you release that spirit of faith, I ask, in the name of Jesus, that we will believe for more, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That was 10 minutes, wasn't it? Oh, I'm sorry, it was meant to be. But we're going to close with a song. I just want to say, if there's anybody that needs prayer afterwards, there will be a ministry team here. And we'd like to pray because we believe God wants to touch lives. So whether it be physical healing, whether it be emotional healing, whether it be a fresh touch from God, whether you're struggling with faith and with faithfulness, you know, we're going to give that opportunity for prayer at the end of the service. So we're going to sing this song in worship. Steve will close after this.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.